Welcome to Going Beyond Medicine with Elaine Grohman. Conversations with people who are working to make a difference in our world. Now here's your host for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Empower Radio, and this is Going Beyond Medicine. Today, I have the privilege of introducing a woman that I had the wonderful opportunity to meet almost a year ago, not quite a year ago, Edie Franklin. And Edie Franklin is the founder of Sanctum House, which is a two-year in-resident safe home for focusing on the physical, psychological, emotional needs of women, in particular, who have been victims of both domestic violence and, most importantly, human trafficking. Edie is a member of the first board of directors of the Michigan Human Trafficking Task Force, which was brought together in this year in 2017. She is the recipient of the Award for Excellence by the Oakland County Coordinating Council Against Domestic Violence and is the recipient of the Guardian of Freedom Award from the Anderson Bloom Freedom Foundation. Welcome to the show, Edie.
Thank you so much, Elaine. It's an honor to be here.
And thank you for what you do. Could you please begin just by telling us a little bit about why you chose to be involved in human trafficking?
Well, it was about 4.5 years ago. It's really inching on to 5 years now that I first got the notion that I was starting to hear a lot about human trafficking in the world. So it was becoming more prevalent. It was being spoken about more. It was coming from beneath the surface. People were talking about it. And I was doing a self-improvement course. For a course on transformation, a landmark worldwide education course. And I had to do a project. And the project had to be something that I saw in the community where there was a need. So being, I always believe that we look to our history, our own personal history. It's like I do believe that the first book every author writes is about their own life.
That's right.
So I was looking into my own life, and as I heard about human trafficking, I realized I was always a woman at risk. I've been in recovery for 30 years, and I had, been a heroin addict for 10 years, and I realized that when I started to look at the people and the women that were throwaways in our society that were becoming victims of human trafficking, I realized that I could be one. So it really touched my heart.
Oh, my.
And as I learned into it and started to join the Michigan Human Trafficking Task Force in Oakland County, and I was going to conventions, I saw that we're starting to let people know that it exists because it's such a heinous, ugly thing that people don't want to see it.
Yes.
But as they saw it, I also realized that there were no programs. There were no long-term programs or places for women to heal after they had experienced these outrageous, traumatic events in their life, often for years.
Yes. So you came up with the idea of Sanctum House, and can you tell us what Sanctum House is, please?
Well, yeah, I came up with the idea of Sanctum House because what I wanted it to be was truly a sanctuary for women, adult women, 18 years of age and older, to heal from the travesties of life that they had experienced at the hands of traffickers and abusers and what have you. So right now, currently, there were, you could go back to jail, you could be back on the street, go back to your abuser, you could get in a shelter for 2-3 days, you could go into a recovery program, possibly for 3 weeks, but there were no long-term treatment programs for women to actually heal and from bottom up to really kind of transform and be the people that they wanted to be when they were little. So I went on a mission to start a long-term treatment program. So our program is a 2-year program that addresses the physical. So they get a full physical when they come in. They get a whole workup with a healthcare system. We go through that. They get a case manager. So they get an entire psychological and educational plan for themselves of what they want. We address physical, psychological, emotional, spiritual, whatever they want to be, they can be. We're not a faith-based organization. However, whatever somebody wants to do, we really, we talk about hope and love, because without hope, I don't believe you have anything. So it's giving them an opportunity to look within and then heal to be who they wanted to be.
So thank you for what you're doing, Edie, because it is, as you said, that people could go back to prison, or they could go back to jail, or they go to a halfway house or a safe place for such a minimal amount of time. How can you change your mind and your circumstances in 2 or 3 days? It's not possible. And especially if you've had long-term abuse, you don't know how to love yourself. And most people misunderstand that term, to know that you are deserving of respect, to know that you are deserving of being cared for as a human being. And that takes a lot of undoing, as you're saying, that you help people understand their value. So it being a residential facility, this is something that you are in Southeast Michigan, right?
Well, we'll be the first safe house for survivors of human trafficking in Southeastern Michigan for adult women. There are some programs for young adults, but then they age out. So we're long-term treatment. We have to think about if you are in a situation for 2 years, 5 years, 6 months, it could be 6 weeks, okay? But even for long-term, the average age of a gal that ends up into trafficking is 14 years old of age. You know, a runaway is approached by a pimp within 72 hours of being a runaway. So let's say you've been in it for years, you are traumatized, you are threatened every day. The elements of human trafficking are force, fraud, or coercion. So if any of those three pieces are involved in your being abused, taken advantage of, exploited for sex, for labor, I mean, there's labor trafficking as well as sexual exploitation. We are first addressing sexual exploitation. But you don't heal from that immediately. So let's say a gal comes to us and we go through the physical and take care of her physical needs and dentistry and what have you. Then we have to address the psychology of it all. So yes, we are a trauma-centered, victim-centered organization. So we address the trauma, the rebuilding of who you are, because you've been made to believe that you're worthless. You have no self-esteem. Nobody is going to care for you but your pimp. I gave you a sandwich. I took you off the street. Now their loyalties are now changed from either their parents or the people that were really good to them. If it wasn't your, sometimes parents aren't good to you, but I'm just saying, right, somebody where you were supported, and it's a transference. You think, yes, that you, the only person that can save you is your pimp or your abuser. So now it's a lot of undoing and rebuilding of self-esteem and just even learning life skills. A lot of these women, they're coming to us at 24, they'll be 26, they might be 30 or 40 years old. They've never really cooked. They've never taken care of their children. They need parenting skills. They need just regular life skills, how to cook a meal, how to plan. You know, I had a gal once, we were out to dinner, and I said to her, I said, well, what do you want to eat? She said, I don't know. My meals always came out of a paper bag.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm thinking, okay, this is starting from square one.
Yes.
And that's what we do, wherever the woman is at. I mean, if they want to become a dentist, if they want to become a nail tech, if they want to be a masseuse, if they want to be a waitress, whatever they want to do, that's what we're going to make available to them.
That's
after
wonderful.
They get some sense of self and are able to go out and
that's
do that.
That's wonderful. For those who are listening, my guest is Edie Franklin, and she is the founder of Sanctum House, which is located in Southeast Michigan. Edie, can you tell me, how do people learn about Sanctum House?
Well, we are, well, obviously right now we're getting our name out there.
Yes.
Our goal is to be open before the end of the year. We've been working on this project. We're, you know, waiting for our certificate of occupancy on this fabulous house that we have. But how they will learn about us is often first responders. So let's say they go into the ER or the dentist or a doctor with something that's hurting them, and the most first responders now have to be schooled on the signs of human trafficking.
Yes.
So they may well notice that there's something wrong here and offer it up. You know, are you in control of your own identification? Does somebody speak for you? Are you in trouble? Are you in a safe place? They ask these pertinent questions, and they may say, well, you know, there is a home of a 2-year program that you could maybe become a part of. So that's one way. Jails. So let's say they're arrested from the streets from prostitution, or there's a raid. Instead of saying you can go back to your pimp, you can go back to the streets, you can go back to your abusive relationship, they will say, And there is a home that it's called Sanctum House. You can go there possibly to go there and heal if there's a bed available. It could be from a jail, you know, from a judge.
Yes.
The women that come to us are voluntary. We are not a, you know, you can be remanded here by the court systems. So it's something that's voluntary. But there's lots of different, from your church. You know, if let's say there's somebody, people are doing a lot of outreach. So they're going out on the streets. They may say Sanctum House is available. So it'll be mostly whoever you come in contact with or they'll read about us.
Wonderful. So as you're saying that you're in the process of waiting to get your certificate of occupancy, so you have a private residence, which is beautiful. So it's that in, alone is normalizing things. They're in a home. They're not in an institution. They're not in a celled building. But I would imagine that there's a lot of precautions that you need to have in place so that, number one, they're safe from anyone who has been a pimp or who has been anyone that is accustomed to quote unquote owning this individual. Mm-hmm. And how do you protect against that?
Well, I've done a lot of research around the country. I mean, in Michigan, there are less than 20 beds for adult women survivors of human trafficking, which is like unheard of.
And what is the number of?
Well, we don't count cases and we don't really know statistics. We know there are hundreds of thousands of women all over that are being abused and slavery still exists in today's world.
Yes, it does.
And there are no, like, why I'm the number one state, the number two state, because there's no way of really knowing that.
Right. It's prevalent everywhere.
It's prevalent everywhere. It's equal everywhere. It's just a lot.
Yes.
Okay. So, the way we secure them is, well, number one, we have a security system. Okay, we're 3 minutes away from the police department. And through the research that I have done throughout the country, most pimps don't come back after the women. They go on to the next. That's how prevalent it is, and that's how many that are out there. So when a gal decides that she wants to change her life and get out of the life, she can make that decision and we'll do everything in our power to keep her safe. So the security system is to keep people out and not in. Our doors are open. They can leave whenever they want. We hope that when they come to us, that they're really ready because we aren't going to be a revolving door either.
Right,
you know, we really want to get women that want to change. And listen, it's not easy either to start working on yourself and make changes and do a lifestyle that's totally foreign to you, which is to help empower yourself because you've felt so degraded and so downtrodden. I mean, 95% of the women that are on the street that are trafficked are addicted women. So, I mean, how do you think that really and truly, not they may not start addicted, but it's a way of control. It's a way a pimp or an abuser can control the women. So if you think that it's not the way to go, because if you had to be raped 20 times a day or 13 times a day or whatever it is, you can't do that sober, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, you have to dissociate
somehow.
That's
right. That's right. Well, you know, I you had mentioned, and thank you for what you had said about the need for people to be who are the first responders. And I know how I first really learned about the prevalence and the enormity of the human trafficking situation was a friend had invited me to an event where nurses were being trained to really look at who is likely to see somebody. Mm-hmm. Is number one, another female is going to be a little bit more probably less intimidating for a woman to speak to than an authoritarian man, perhaps. But what's so important is people maybe make assumptions that are not accurate, you know, well, this person is choosing this or whatever. And of course, no one would choose to be abused.
No, that's a really, I'm glad you touched on that because there are huge myths about what human trafficking is. Human trafficking is not smuggling. Mm-hmm. Human trafficking is not transportation. Children under 18 years of age cannot be prostitutes. They are prostituted.
That's right.
And there are places where women 18 years of age and under will be arrested and convicted as a criminal as opposed to a victim. Compliance does not mean consent. When you are being victimized every day and told you are worthless and I'm the only person that cares about you, when you are being threatened that I know where your parents live and I'm going to kill your parents if you don't do this, or I love you, I really love you, and if you do this, it means that you love me too, and you have no else, and you've been told this for a long, long time. you know, we think that people choose. I mean, I don't think that anybody would raise their hand to say, gee, I'm going to sign up for slavery. I'm going to sign up to be raped every single day. I'm going to sign up for not being able to see my children. I mean, they use their children as, I won't let you see your kids. I won't let, you know, they threaten them with things that mean the most. So they stay, they're brainwashed. It's like being in the killing fields in a war zone.
That's right.
I mean, you're in a war zone, but you're, these women are not necessarily chained to a bed or chained in a house. I mean, they could actually leave. But when you once you psychologically get chained, you don't see a way out. You're blind. I mean, I know when I was a heroin addict, I used to think, now I might have gotten physically sick, and I didn't want to get physically sick, so I didn't, you know, get clean until I got clean. But I couldn't see a way out. I thought, I can't see another way to live my life. This is the only thing I knew.
Right.
And I thought, there's just no way out. There's no way out. And until that little trigger, it's a trigger. You have something flips a switch and says, I need to change my life. I can't do this anymore. And you, fear turns to faith. And that's why I say they have hope. You have to, that fear turns to, there is a way. Okay, you told me there is a way. I'm going to try it. Just try it.
Yeah.
You know, give it a chance, because there are other ways.
Okay. Again, well, thank you so much. And my guest today is Edie Franklin, who is the founder of Sanctum House. And please go to that website. It's www.sanctumhouse.org. And is there a number where people can reach out to you if they'd rather call you rather than looking through the website?
Certainly. It's a 248-574-9373.
Thank you. And again, that's 248-574-9373. And the National Human Trafficking Hotline is
1-888-373-7888. And that's Polaris.org. You can always go to that website too and look for information.
Okay. So what's really important is that also when we look at the prevalence of this, and since we're in Michigan, we probably have a little bit of a big challenge in that we border another country, so that, you know, there is the waterways for people to be trafficked. But it's not always leaving the country. It's leaving their city, leaving their home, leaving their mind.
Right.
That's what we have to remember. And human trafficking, I was very surprised when I was at the event with the nurses where Teresa Flores, who is well known here in Michigan and globally, as a victim of human trafficking here in Michigan. And the legislation was named for her, the Teresa Flores Act.
Correct.
That was very important to make sure that perpetrators could be prosecuted long after, so long as the individual was a victim in their childhood, for the remainder of their life, that perpetrator could be convicted. Is that correct?
Correct. I don't know the exact law, but yes.
Okay.
That they can go back. And because the problem, one of the issues right now with the laws is now getting the laws stricter against perpetrators, starting to address the demand side of it, and address and start getting into the schools young, teaching people to, you know, respect one another. Boys should respect girls. Girls should. And this is not just a girl issue. I mean, boys are also trafficked, young boys, men. I mean, it's across gender. But that if we start training our kids and teaching our kids early on that we respect each other, we don't abuse, we can't own. I mean, people are not private t-shirt. People are not property. We don't own other people, and we don't take advantage of them. So as our laws change and the perpetrators, when the offenses are stronger sentences, that could be a deterrent for people wanting to. But a lot of people that go out and buy prostitutes, or they don't think they're doing anything wrong. They think that all this is, the woman has made a choice to do this. They don't realize
that these are
trafficked victims.
Yes, yes.
And or that the dancers in strip joints are giving half their money or the majority of their money to the places that they work, or the massage parlor women. I mean, I always say, if you go to a nail salon and they're giving a mani-pedi on a special for $15, who do you think is not getting paid.
That's right.
The nail nobody, they're not making money. They're slave labor. This is labor trafficking, most likely.
That's right. So, and under the umbrella of human trafficking, there isn't just sex trade. There's obviously free labor, as we were talking about before the show. And unfortunately, there's organ procurement also, mm-hmm. which is so heinous. Right. All of it is so heinous. So what are some of the signs, or what can people, what are some of the signs that as a lay person, not somebody who is a first responder, how might they recognize when someone is really in trouble, and what could they do? What is your recommendation?
Well, I think number one, you know, you trust your gut. Okay.
Yes.
If all else fails, if it doesn't look right, it probably isn't right. So one, you know, first of all, the most vulnerable amongst us, so people that are vulnerable are the most targeted, are frequently targeted. That's the first issue. If you see someone, I had a friend of mine call me, they had, you know, housekeepers coming to their home. And then when the woman went back out to the truck, the guy that was driving the truck started to yell at her and scream at her and just was vile to her. And she started to cry. And then she came back in and they wouldn't accept a check. They only wanted cash. And it just didn't feel right to her. So she actually called me, and the women, they were supposed to come back and clean the next day. He was yelling at her. I guess maybe she had to come back the next day to do something else. And I called the sheriff's department.
Good.
And they went and they took the license plate and they came the next day and they investigated it. I had another gal call me. They were at a nail tech salon, and she said, you know, Edie, every day they drop 6 women off at the salon and then they pick them up at the end of the day. It doesn't look right to me.
No.
She called me. I reported it. So when you see something that doesn't look necessarily correct, report it. Call your local sheriff's department. You don't want to ever put yourself in harm's way.
Yes.
There was another little gal, somebody called me. I used to have these cards with the hotline number on it. She was sitting crying like in an airport. And she, this woman had one of my cards, and she handed her one of the cards. If you're not in difficulty, you know, maybe call this hotline.
Wonderful.
But you have to be careful too, because if the pimp's watching them, they get in trouble.
Yes.
If they talk, if they speak. So if somebody doesn't look you in the eye when they talk, if they don't have their own identification, if somebody is speaking for them and they don't speak for themselves, these are all signs that something is amok.
Okay. Well, that's really important for people to know, because, you know, sometimes it's better to be wrong. If you're wrong and, you know, someone is saying, no, it was a misunderstanding and it was genuinely a misunderstanding, good. But if you're right, then you may be saving somebody's life. And you had mentioned earlier, Edie, and again, my guest is Edie Franklin, and she is the founder of Sanctum House, which is in Southeast Michigan. And it is a residential, 2-year residential program to help women who are 18 years or older and clean, right?
Yeah,
they have to be clean
right.
and sober.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have a commitment to want to change in their life. And in that, they would help them physically, emotionally, psychologically, educationally, with job opportunities, etc., in a long-term program to really help them get their life back on track and really know that they have a life and they deserve a life. So that is so important. And again, the number to reach out to Edie Franklin and her group at Sanctum House is 248-574-9373. And the National Human Trafficking Hotline is 1-800-3737-888. So
it's 1-888.
Oh, 1-888. I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. 1-888-3737-888. Thank you for correcting me. So when we come back to the second hour of the show, I would like to talk about what can people do as individuals to help you immediately, or, you know, what can they do? They see this problem. We see that there's so many things being exposed right now. And even though it's a challenge and we think, oh my gosh, our world is going to hell in a handbasket, but we have to see these things. If we don't see what's happening, things like human trafficking, like slavery, which has happened for centuries, will continue. And when we're in a time of balance in our world, that means balance for everyone, every single person. So when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Edie Franklin, the founder of Sanctum House. The address is www.sanctumhouse.org. The telephone number is 248-574-9373. And the national hotline is 1-888-3737-888. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, and we'll continue with the show. I'm Elaine Groman for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
You're listening to Empower Radio, an entire radio station devoted to your personal development, expanding your conscious awareness, and empowering positive change. Meet our hosts and listen online at EmpowerRadio.com, on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, or iTunes, or download the Empower Radio app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free in the App Store, and it lets you listen to our shows and podcasts on demand. Empowering people, empowering change. Empower Radio, online at EmpowerRadio.com.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
All in together now. We can make it better now. Come on, can we do it?
You know that we can.
We'll rope it up.
Cause we know how to jump.
We'll roll it out.
Cause we know how to skate.
We'll cut it down.
Cause we know what to eat.
We'll swap it out.
We eat healthy stuff.
Can we do it?
Today's a good day to grab your kids and hang out with them for an hour. Dance, walk, play a sport, or cook a healthy meal. Because just moving a little and eating better every day can help make you and your child healthier.
Can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll ball it up.
Cause we know how to hoop.
We'll mess around.
Cause we know how to play.
We'll drop it down.
Drop it
down.
Cause we know how to dance.
We'll veg it up.
Veg it night and day.
Can we do it?
Search We Can online to find doable tips and activities that you can use every day to keep you and your kids healthy. Remember, that's We Can. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Now back to Elaine Groman and Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Elaine Groman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And we're continuing the discussion with Edie Franklin, who is the founder of Sanctum House, which is located in Southeast Michigan, which is a 2-year residential safe house focusing on physical, independent lifestyle care for people, physical, psychological, emotional, educational, spiritual healing for women who have been victims of human trafficking. And so this is a huge project that you're doing. And tell us again how long that this has been in the works, and where are you currently, and what are your needs currently, please?
Okay, I'd love to tell you all of that.
Thank you.
Okay, it's been a process from, thought. You know, thoughts become things. Choose the good ones.
That's right.
And so the thought became a reality. It started 4.5 years ago, actually. And And we started the process of creating the Safe House, a two-year program for survivors of human trafficking. And we've had a couple of houses that came across our way and they didn't pan out, or the cities, a lot of cities say, oh, we don't want you in our neighborhood. Right. And you have to like deal with education before you can go and start a project like this. You want the community involvement and you want to be embraced by the community,
right,
as opposed to chased out by the community. So we had to go out and do awareness so that we can calm people's fears, because when you know people see figure it's the movie Taken,
right?
Okay, and that isn't how human trafficking exists. It may happen like that, but more common it's runaway kids that are picked up, or women that are vulnerable or in a relationship, mm-hmm, abused, and then turned out to be slaves,
right,
slaves to at the hands of someone else. So we have now come full circle to where we actually have a home in Oakland County that will house up to 16 women for long-term residential care. We have a wonderful kitchen and we have bedrooms and two living rooms and a fire button. It's a wonderful home. And we were lucky enough to receive money from the government for services. So portion of the program is covered so that we can hire staff and we can have therapists and we can have all the services that we really need.
Mm-hmm.
But the program costs twice as much,
of course,
as what the services are. So it actually costs about $25,000 a year to house a woman for all the therapy and services and food and clothes, $100 a week for clothes, $125 for outside services.
Yes.
There's different, just for running the house itself, you need for utilities and all of that.
Of course.
So we're in major fundraising mode to get the money to, which we have been lucky enough to have wonderful fundraisers going on all over, and people in the communities are so welcoming and so supportive, and church organizations and women's groups. There are so many things that we can do to get the word out, number one, so people start to look beneath the surface, so that we want to... Our vision is to empower women to have a sustainable lifestyle, but our bigger vision, that's our local mission, but the bigger vision is to open safe houses everywhere.
Mm.
Like I had said in the other segment, there are less than 20 beds in Michigan, and we need more beds for
adult women.
We're in partnership with some of the adolescent facilities. When they age out at 18, they could come to our facility, but there's 16 beds. It's not 1,600 beds,
yes,
which could be filled as quickly as 16 beds. So my plea is, once we're open, which we hope will be before the end of this year, we're just waiting for our certificate of occupancy.
And we're in December 2017
right now. 2017. So
right.
This is really cool. And as soon as that's done, then we want to show successes. So when the women come in, we succeed and we can say, this is how you build an organization. We were successful in building it and getting the physical building, which is like monumental to start.
Absolutely.
And get all the volunteers that come in and have painted it and done the yards and doorknobs and handles and electrical and new light bulb, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And now it's time where the rubber meets the road and open the doors and show success, where we have women that come in and start to heal.
And that is so important.
It's the fact that we are at this juncture right now where we have three women that have called and are kind of waiting till we open, that we actually are going to start changing lives and changing legacies. Because when a woman comes in, it doesn't just touch her.
That's right.
It touches her family, her brother, her sister, her mother, her child. We are, we're not right now a residence that takes women with their children. However, if they have children, we make arrangements for them to visit their children, to have parenting classes, all of that kind of stuff. But down the road, we want to do women with their children.
Yes.
We want to do men and boys. We want to do the LGBTQ community. There are all these arenas that are untouched.
Yes.
And they need to be addressed. Once we have now I can tell you how to be successful up to this point, and then I want to tell you how to expand and to develop sustainability. I mean, the ticket is not to open. This is not a one and done.
No.
This slavery is going on as old as the ages. It's, you know, forever people take other people as slaves. I mean, I was listening to the radio the other day. I was listening to them selling people in Libya. I mean, I was on the radio, he clicked the clamor, and it was for $400. The average price of a slave in the United States right now, they say, is about $90.
Oh, my gosh.
They were selling people for $400. It's mind-boggling. It's unfathomable to me that slavery still exists in this day and age.
And what is such an important part, and thank you so much for what you do, because I've had the incredible opportunity of going to a couple of events. Not enough. I want to continue to go to different events. And there was an amazing woman who spoke who was a victim of human trafficking. And she told one story. And it was like I was listening to a horror movie. I couldn't even believe that this woman could stand there and be able to laugh and smile and stand in front of everyone with such grace and such dignity to really show this is possible to change. And I would imagine that as women are coming out of human trafficking and they're able to get their lives together, they are the living example to other women. Like yourself, you are so graciously and honestly talking about your own experiences with drug abuse and how that affects you thinking. And not only you're physiologically affected, but you're emotionally and spiritually affected and literally chained by this.
I think part of the unchaining is in the telling.
Yes.
There's so much healing in being able to be with other people that have experienced your same life. There's commiserating with, we knew what it was like when we were in it. And there's also commiserating with, I'm out of it and I can be the beacon for you. So we have a lot of survivors that are active in the house. This is not just, you know, therapists and doctors and,
right,
and physicians and people. We have survivors that are in the house. We have that are talking about life skills and the possibilities for, I did it, so you can do it. This is how I did it. So that they can see a mirror and say, wow. And that you can sit around a circle and shake your head and say, wow.
And I also would think that it would be really important to have friends in your circle that have never been involved in this also, so that they can see, oh, you mean not everyone has had this kind of challenge, that this didn't really necessarily have to occur in my life, that there's many people that are happy and can just create the life that they want, so that they see both sides and see that it's they can normalize many things.
And that's a big part of our program, is the normalizing life, is getting used to a regular life.
Yes.
You know, to go out to go to the movies on Saturday, to go to the theater, to go walking on a walking trail for an afternoon, to meditate, to do yoga, to have a cooking class.
And how to deal with problems.
And how to deal with problems. What did I do? What do I do to calm myself?
Right.
You know, what do I do when I'm going to be triggered? Now I'm in a new life. I'm going to be triggered. Something is going to pull me back to what I know. It's not because I liked it, but because it's familiar.
Yes.
We go to old habits. People that bite their finger, they don't like biting their fingernails. They do it because it's a habit.
That's right.
You have to retrain yourself, and you have to substitute those old habits with something new.
Yes.
So what am I going to replace it with? And we have lots of conversations about what am I going to do differently when, in fact, I am triggered. It's kind of like that story about, you know, walking down the street and you fall in the hole every day and the hole is getting deeper. And finally you realize, gosh, maybe I should walk around the hole. And then finally you realize you need to go down a different street.
Yes.
Do something totally different.
Yes.
And that's how transformation occurs.
That's really wonderful. So what are some of the things that people can do? I know that you have a list of 12 things that people can do to assist with those that are in human trafficking. Can you give us an idea of some of them?
Well, I think it's, you know, what can you do in 12 minutes, 12 days, 12
minutes.
Months?
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thank
and
you.
One of the things that you can do is, number one, is always look beneath the surface. Realize it when you see something and it doesn't look right. See something, say something. You might start listening to TED Talks, mm-hmm, and see what human trafficking really is and learn about it. There is, I think sometimes we think it's happening to other people and it's over there. There's a website called slaveryfootprint.org,
okay,
that you can go to and see how many slaves work for you. What? Mm. Where do you buy your coffee? Do you eat shrimp? Where do you buy your clothes from? There are slaves all over this world. And as you take it, you realize how many slaves work for you. We have to be...
That's shocking.
Right. We have to be vigilant about where we buy our food, buy our coffee, free trade, all of that kind of stuff, because that is going to be another piece.
We have to be willing to be shocked.
That's right. And be willing to change.
Yeah.
And
to realize
we're part of it.
Knowingly or unknowingly, we're complicit in a lot of these things. Because ignorance is not bliss.
Correct. Absolutely. So there are, you know, put the national hotline number, the 888-3737-888 number into your telephone if you see something. Go to civic groups. Go to Lansing when they're arguing a new bill or a new law. Go and talk to them and say, we need harsher laws.
Yes.
We need to approach the demand side. We need to educate our men. We need to educate our children. We're just starting to develop programs to go into the schools. I'm also part of a documentary, Break the Chain, that we're showing places. It's a film that has won some awards for human trafficking in Michigan. Show that at your church so people are aware, or your civic group. Be happy to come out and speak to anybody and let your organizations know what is really going on in the world so that we can make it different.
That's really
important. Awareness
is
the beginning. Once you get smart, you can't get dumb. You know better, you do better.
That's right. We cannot hide our head in the sand and pretend. And especially as women are coming really back into balance with life, not to be against men, but to help men be better men. And I think that really we need to rely on men like this kind young man here who is my producer, who is just a gentle soul. You know, those men need to say to men, this is not okay. Has to be ways that we unnormalize the abuse of women, of children.
Well, there are lots of organizations now that are now addressing that. And there are a lot of people are addressing it through their church groups and their synagogues and their temples, and starting to have just men's groups, because men, you know, they don't talk to each other the way women do. It's not judgmental or different. It's just different. They talk differently.
That's
so there
right.
are now independent groups. It's very, we don't see a lot of, when we do awareness groups, we don't see a lot of men, but slowly men are starting to come and they're starting to listen, and they're branching off and creating their own groups so that they can talk about their own truths about what they're doing and what they aren't doing and what they can do differently to teach their children and their sons better men. I mean, the wisdom is in the elders. I mean, it always has been, even if we don't want to agree to it and our young people don't want to look at our elders, but the elders really do know what they're talking about.
That's right. So again, the National Human Trafficking Hotline is 1-888-3737-888. The website for Sanctum House is www.sanctumhouse.org. And the number to reach the Sanctum House is 248-574-9373. And again, my guest is Edie Franklin, the founder of Sanctum House. So tell me, Edie, what are some of the things that have surprised you along the way with this? Is it that people weren't so aware of it, or tell me what you're, obviously you're motivated because you had your own experiences of dependencies, and thank you for your honesty about that, because I think that, you know, people see this incredibly beautiful, successful woman who has a family, and I know you're a grandmother and your family loves you and you have a successful career aside from Sanctum House. And, you know, people have very many stereotypes. And when you have been honest enough to say, well, I had a problem too.
I think that the one of the beauties of this are the people that come up and talk to me after I've spoken and say, you know, I've had this experience, or tell me about their children, or tell me about their daughters and how what can I help them with to get their daughter? She's, you know, thinks she's in love with some guy that they know is bad for her. I'm amazed also at how many people are willing to give of their time and their talents and their treasures that say, I didn't realize it. This is the first. I've had people come up and say, this is the first I ever heard of this. And I think, wow, wow, how could you be as old as you are and just heard of it? But they haven't. They don't, because we don't want to hear the ugly.
Right.
So we hear
and
the
people,
ugly.
And people, as you said, think of prostitution as a choice.
That's exactly right. They don't think of prostitution as slavery. So I'm shocked by, and that they're willing. And then they say, well, now that I know I'm willing, what can I do?
Yes.
What can I do? So the willingness of people to do things and to open their minds. And then I'm also really, I am shocked that with everything that we're talking about, and because I'm so entrenched in it, I'm still amazed. I'm amazed that our police are not trained. Some days our police are not trained enough to notice it. Our first responders are just having to get CEUs and social workers and dentists. And they're, you know, so I was shocked, and now I'm excited that it's identified, and now they have to go to training. They have to get some kind of training so that they can identify this, because it's being recognized as a true, true problem.
It's amazing, because you would think, if you really look at what is the core commonality of anyone who creates harm, is they've likely had harm done to them. So it only makes sense. Start with where the harm is happening. Prevent the harm from happening. And somebody likely would not criminalize another person or become whatever criminal mindset that they have, or self-abusive mindset that they have.
When you said that, I want to, sometimes the abuser for a woman is not always a man.
That's
sometimes
true.
It's another woman.
That's true.
So sometimes a gal that is being abused and being trafficked, she is the recruiter. Mm-hmm. So she gets a choice. You can either go out and be raped 13 times yourself, or why don't you recruit some more women? Go to work. Really, go to work, get some more people. So she's young, and she goes out and she talks to her friends and says, hey, you know, I can maybe get you a modeling job, or I can get you, come here, this guy, he's really good to us, blah, blah, blah. And they get them there and they recruit. So I trust you. You're my age. You're not an older guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're not, you know, somebody that I should be afraid of. You're a girl. You're my own age, and you bring me in. Then they drug them. They take pictures of them. Then they threaten them, and then they're gone. So I think it's, you know, you asked me before what to look for. And I was thinking, too, when your kids, say your daughter's 13, 14, and she thinks, you know, the 19 or the 20-year-old is, it's so wonderful and she's so special because the 19 or 20-year-old or 23-year-old is showing
paying attention.
A normal 23, 24-year-old is not paying attention to a 13 or a 14-year-old girl. There's something wrong.
That's right.
Those are the kinds of signs. When your kids are starting to dress differently and do different things and have different friends, it's something to pay attention to look beneath the surface and see what is really making this different. Abusers abuse. You just said it. You know, mm-hmm. it's very difficult. It's become cyclical. So as we teach our kids how to notice what makes sense in our society and what doesn't, then they will learn to protect themselves. Because what we have to do is teach them to not be vulnerable and to protect themselves, because we can't be with them 24/7. I had a friend come up to me and say, oh my God, I can't let my daughter go to the mall. She can't go to the roller rink. She can't. That's not true.
Right. You don't want fear. You want awareness.
You want awareness. There's a fine line between not letting your kids live their life and learn their journey and letting them learn their journey. They have to learn it, but giving them the tools to stay safe, because that is so, so important.
Yes.
You know?
You know, and Edie, you said something really important, that that someone may appear to be a friend. And we really need to help people understand and to really trust also what you'd said. Trust what you feel. Is this really a friend? Would a friend do this to you? So that we have in our false world that has been created with being friended, etc., you know, being friended does not make you a friend.
The internet is treacherous.
Yeah, it's
okay?
distorted so
it's
much.
It's distorted because you can be anyone behind a Facebook face, an Instagram, a Snapchat, or whatever. So it's about that we're this quick fix nation, okay? This quick, oh my God, I got a like. Let me look. Let me read it real fast. Let me see how many people adore me. But you don't know who's on the other side. And that's another way that perpetrators are getting their victims. You
that's
know,
right.
They start out, they're friends, they're just talking to you nice and oh, this and that. And then the next thing they know, they want to meet you in person. And then once they meet you in person, you realize that the person you were talking to is not the person that you thought it was.
Right.
So the internet is a fun place. And believe me, I use it. I mean, I use it. I love it. It's fun, mm-hmm. but it can also be a scary place if mm-hmm. it's not used adequately and correctly.
That's right. So again, my guest has been Edie Franklin, who is the founder of Sanctum House, which is located in Michigan. The website is www.sanctumhouse.org. The National Human Trafficking Hotline is 1-888-3737-888. And the number to reach Edie at the Sanctum House is 248-574-9373. And of course, as you had mentioned, you're always going to be in need of funding. Funding for any nonprofit is a huge endeavor, an ongoing thing. But I think that once people see that it's making a difference in the lives of others, it makes sense to put your money where you're going to actually be preventing expenditures of so many different kinds in the future.
Well, because people don't think about what does it really cost to keep your heat on, to keep your lights on, to keep food in the refrigerator, to go to the DIA, to go to a movie, to just, you know, buy Netflix, okay?
Right.
Everything costs. And you can also like us on our Facebook page.
Oh, great.
Which is Sanctum House on Facebook, and you can see what's going on there. But we need ongoing sustainability money because we don't want to be something that shows up and then disappears. So we have a lot of fundraisers. If you follow us on Facebook, you'll always know where a fundraiser is. There's a donate button there if you want to donate.
Good.
Every dollar counts to us. Everything that you can possibly, if you can give, if you can go to amazonsmile.com, if you shop on Amazon, pick us as your
I never heard of that.
Your charity, and whenever you buy your stuff on Amazon, you'll be giving to us. So
that's cool.
Another way to give that doesn't hurt. You know, you can give ongoing, $10 a month, $5 a month. So or you can give big. We like big checks too. So whatever is you're able to give would be really great for us. We had a phenomenal fundraiser yesterday.
Wonderful.
And sororities are having us come and do awareness. I'll come speak to your church, to your organization, your civic group, and let anybody know what they need to know about human trafficking. And then there's volunteer opportunities. Not just money, it's volunteers. Can you be a driver? Do you have a talent? Can you be a yoga instructor? Are you an artist? Do you want to come teach a cooking class? There's so much
wonderful
to help that goes into transforming a life. It isn't just, you know, come in and you get to relax for a while and realize that you're safe. That's the beauty of Sanctum House is when they come in, because we're client-centered, victim-centered, person-centered, they'll come in, they can relax from their trauma, know that they're safe, nobody's grabbing them in the middle of the night and saying, get out on the street. Once we start to build a trusting relationship,
yes,
then we stay in a community of love and hope.
That's
to grow
wonderful.
and to heal. So
and we all need that. We all need healthy relationships. They're the foundation of humanity. Relationships with ourselves first. We have to know that we are worth it. We have to know that if we're born, there's a reason for our birth. And that reason is not to be the puppet of another individual, but to really become a contributing member of humanity. And that is so important. And thank you so much for what you do and all of the people that are involved in Sanctum House. It's an ongoing need. It has been with us forever, but hopefully it is something that will diminish its hold on humanity over time. And the efforts of Sanctum House and people like you, Edie Franklin, are really the spearhead of that, and I thank you for that. Again, the National Human Trafficking Hotline is 1-888-3737-888. The Sanctum House website is www.sanctumhouse.org, and they can be reached at 248-574-9373. Go out and see what you can do. If you see something that doesn't look right, please make sure that you don't just let it pass you by. Look at that. That is a life. That is an individual who deserves to be cared for, loved, and to love those that really mean something to her, not someone that just wants to use her and or him. So thank you very much, Edie, for all that you do.
Thank you for having me on your show. I'm so honored.
I am honored. I truly am. This is Elaine Grohman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. Go out and empower yourself to be someone who helps others truly live. That's what it's all about. See you next week.